WMFO, Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there's no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. You're under the baton of Arthur this morning. Happy Valentine's Day. Now, if a show is to ever have technical difficulties, should be this one. This is the most slapdashed show I've compiled to date. And if all goes well, at least with the first program, it should stay true to the spirit of Valentine's Day. We're going to start off with a six shooter for today's billing. This one is called Myra Barker. I believe its original air date. The original air date was the 24th of June, 1954. This is the last episode of the six shooter and its series, starring Jimmy Stewart. So here we go.
James Stewart as the six shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl, its handle unmarked. People call him both the six shooter. The NBC radio network presents James Stewart as the six shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still remembered legends.
Where are you, Lamb?
This stall here, Britt. I'm currying down one of my mares.
Thought you said you was going to sleep late this morning.
Oh, I just can't seem to get used to a hotel bed. The way you sink down in them, you feel like you're lying in a pile of quicksand. Well, where's Scar?
Huh? Scar?
Why, my horse. I thought maybe I'd take a ride out towards Saucer Mountain. Which stall's in, huh?
Well, now, Britt, I don't want you to fly off the handle.
What? What are you talking about?
Well, the fact is, Scar ain't in no stall at the moment.
Well, what's happened to him?
Now, Britt, you know I wouldn't let anything happen to a horse that was left in my livery stable. You know that, don't you?
Lamb, where's Scar? Just tell me where he is.
Well, he's out. Out? You remember Jess Alden, who runs the Willow Fork Gazette?
Sure.
Well, sir, Jess and his wife Zoe has got a young lady visiting them. Myra Barker, her name is. She's Zoe's niece.
Well, what in the thunder's all this got to do with my horse?
No, there's no need to get your head up, Britt. I'm explaining to you about Scar.
Well, you're telling me about some woman named Myra Barker.
Well, that's where Scar is at. Myra took him out for a little canter.
What?
Well, now, you see, she's from back east somewheres, and she ain't got no horse of her own, so every once in a while she rents one of mine.
Well, all right, go on, Lamb.
Well, she come into the stable this morning about an hour ago, just when I was opening up, and she said she felt like taking a little gallop to work up an appetite for breakfast, and so she is a first-class rider, Britt.
I don't care if she... What's got into you, Lamb? The idea of letting some woman ride out of here with Scar.
Well,
I never heard
such a thing in my
life.
Now, I tried to argue with her, but Miss Barker is a real forceful young lady. She said she was sure you wouldn't mind since she was only going a short ways, and she told me I was to give you the rental fee, and here it is, Britt, 25 cents.
I don't want any money, Lamb. I want my horse.
Well, they ought to be back, but now Miss Barker usually never stays out more than 30 minutes. Now, Britt, don't start fretting about Scar. She'll bring him in all right.
I'm not worried about him. He'll come in of his own accord.
Of his own accord? What are you talking about?
Lamb, I've had that horse since he was a colt. I broke him myself.
Sure, Britt, sure.
Why, he won't let anybody else ride him but me. Well, the last time anybody tried to mount that horse, he spooked and he threw the fellow a good 20 feet right straight up in the air.
20 feet? Oh, you don't say. Well, I noticed he acted kind of skittish when she started getting on, but I figured that was because he wasn't used to being rode with a side saddle.
Oh, of course he's side saddle? You mean she's riding Scar side saddle?
Well, she's a real lady, Britt.
Yeah, well, she a lady. She won't be much of a lady lying out in a bed of cactus somewheres. Come on, we better start looking.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, I'll take that gelding and you can take my... Britt! Britt, looky there.
Hmm?
This is through the door. See her coming down the street?
Well, I'll be darned.
Say, I never knew Scar was a trick horse.
Neither did I.
Well, then where'd he learn that fancy step she's got him doing?
Got me, Lamb.
Oh, you had me all worried, saying he wouldn't let nobody else ride him. I ought to know better than to take you serious, Britt.
Whoa, now.
Here, Miss Barker, let me give you a hand.
Oh, thank you.
I do declare he acts like he don't want you to get off.
Well, I guess he's going to miss me, aren't you, boy? Well, that's a nice boy. He certainly is a fine animal, Lim. The man who owns him surely must be proud.
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Oh?
Miss Barker, this is Mr. Ponsett. Remember, I told you Scar belongs to him?
Oh, yes, of course. How are you, Mr. Ponsett?
Well, I'm pleased to meet you, ma'am.
I hope you don't mind my borrowing Scar. Mr. Truett didn't want me to take him, but I just couldn't resist the way he looked at me. It was almost like he was asking me to go for a trot.
Well, yes, ma'am.
You take good care of him, Mr. Ponsett. You wouldn't want anything to happen to a wonderful animal like that.
Oh, no. No. No, I sure wouldn't. Miss Barker.
Yes?
If you'd like to ride him again sometime, why, I'll be staying at Willow Fork for a few days.
Oh, that's very kind of you, Mr. Ponsett.
Lamb here, he'll fix you up when I'm not using Scar.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Bye.
Well, I just don't understand you, Britt Ponsett. Here you was raising Cain because I let her borrow Scar, and now you're volunteering to let her ride him anytime she pleases. I just don't understand it.
Well, I thought seeing as how Scar kind of took a fancy to her, and what I mean is he's a pretty good judge of human nature, and she does seem to be a first-rate rider. I mean, you know something, Lem? I don't understand it either. She was a nice-looking young lady. There wasn't any doubt about that. And I liked the way she spoke right out. She didn't beat around the bush like a lot of girls a man runs into. There was something about her eyes that... Well, anyway, I put my saddle on Scar, and we headed out towards Saucer Mountain. A couple of miles east of town, we came into a little hollow where nobody'd be able to see us. Whoa, boy, whoa, whoa. Oh, now, slow down. I thought maybe I'd get Scar to do that fancy sidestep he was doing with Miss Barker. All right, now, boy, now. No, come on. No.
isn't good. Come on now. Oh, now, Star, come on now. You were willing to do it for her. Now, come on. Quit that. What?
Well, he just wouldn't do a thing. Acted like he thought I was taking leave of my senses on him.
Boss, quit.
I swung him back on the trail, let him travel in the style he was accustomed to. Must have been about noon the time we got back to town, and I pulled up in front of the cafe. Whoa, boy.
Whoa, Scar. Whoa.
Doggone you.
Oh, Mr. Ponsett.
Hmm? Oh, Miss Barker.
I was hoping I'd run into you again.
You were... you want to borrow Scar?
Well, it's about Scar. But I won't be borrowing him anymore.
Oh?
You see, I found out I was wrong to take him this morning. Uncle Jeff told me that in the West, a man's horse is something he doesn't loan as a rule. I'm terribly sorry. I didn't mean to be so inconsiderate.
Oh, you weren't being inconsiderate, Miss Barker. Back East, they probably have different customs, that's all.
Then I'm forgiven?
Oh, sure, ma'am.
You're very generous, Mr. Ponsett. Maybe you'll have dinner with us some evening.
Well,
I can prove to Uncle Jess that I haven't completely disgraced the family name. And so he's a very good cook.
Yes, I've always heard about Miss Allen. I never had the opportunity to sample her food, though.
Well, any evening at all. I'm sure you'd be most welcome.
Well, since I don't know just how long I'm going to be stopping here in town, maybe I oughtn't to put it off too long. I'm going to be free tonight. I want to tell you, Miss Alden, I've been hearing folks brag about your cooking ever since I can remember, but they haven't done you justice. Well, they just didn't even come close. But...
Oh, Brett. Well, here, have another piece of shortcake.
Oh, no, thanks. I just couldn't eat another mouthful.
You sure?
Oh, no, absolutely positive. Thanks just the same, though.
Well, now, for certain.
And I'll have another slice, eh?
Now, Jesse, you've had more than your share. Besides, if you have another piece, there won't be enough for tomorrow. Shortcake ought to do for two meals.
Well, you just offered Britta.
That's different. He's company. Come on, Jesse. Help me with the dishes.
Eh? The dishes? But I thought Myra usually...
Myra has a guest. They might like to be alone for a few minutes. Now, come on, Jeff.
Sure.
We put the porch swing up this morning, Britt. It's a speck early for it, I know, but there sure is a feeling of summer in the air.
Yes, ma'am. Yes. Would you, care to go out on the porch, Miss Barker?
We don't have to unless you really want to. I mean, just because Aunt Zoe suggested it.
No, I think I might enjoy it.
All right, then. I'm afraid she isn't very subtle, is she?
How's that?
You know perfectly well Aunt Zoe was throwing me at you. I knew she would when I invited you.
Oh?
The fact is, I'm sort of a disappointment to Aunt Zoe. She's done everything in her power to marry me off. But so far, she hasn't had any luck. Oh, the young men she's introduced me to are all very nice and pleasant. But, well, the truth is, I don't want to get married.
Oh, I see.
I'm not the least bit interested in settling down and cooking meals. I like a change of scenery. I like to meet new people.
Uh-huh.
From what Uncle Jeff tells me about you, you feel the same way.
Yeah, more or less, I reckon.
So I thought that having you to dinner, it would please Aunt Zoe, and as far as we were concerned, we might get to be friends, but there'd be no danger of going beyond that point.
Uh-huh.
Well, now that that's all settled, shall we go inside?
Well, there's no hurry, is there? I mean, as long as there's no danger, since... we have this understanding. It is a nice evening, isn't it?
Whatever you say.
You know, Miss Barker, I was just thinking, every once in a while, somebody tries to get me married off, too. Friends of mine, their intentions are good, but, well...
Oh, I know how it is.
What I was getting at is this. I haven't any idea how long I'll be here in Willow Fork, and... well, as long as I'm here, I was wondering if we couldn't see each other once in a while. That might take some of this marriage pressure off both of us. You see what I mean?
Well, I suppose so, but...
And we wouldn't be running any risks, seeing as how we have the understanding, you know. And your aunt would be pleased, my friends would be pleased, and... Well, you know, you're awful good company, Miss Barker.
Why, thank you.
Well, how about it?
Well, all in all, I think it's a very practical idea, Mr. Ponsett. I'd be delighted to see you again.
Good. That's fine. Well, now, I'll get in touch with you the next time there's a doings. It probably won't be right away, but I'll get in touch with you.
You are listening to the last program in our series called The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman whose name is legend in the Western Territories. Now, Act Two of the story called Myra Barker.
Well, as it turned out, there was a doings the very next night. Box supper over at the church. And since I'd sort of promised Myra that the next time there was anything going on, I... Well, anyway, we went to supper together, and the time seemed to pass by real pleasant. The next night, she was invited to a party at the Peterson house, and... Well, now that I look back on it, there sure was a lot of social activity in Willow Fork during the next couple of weeks. We were going one place or another almost every night. And I was enjoying myself, too. I really was. And I was enjoying being with Myra. I didn't realize how much until that evening when I was walking her home from the hayride.
Well, Britt?
Huh?
You haven't said a word since we left the wagon.
Well, it doesn't seem to be much to talk about.
Oh. Well, here we are. Pretty late. I won't ask you in.
Sure. Good night.
Britt.
Hmm?
What's wrong? You're cross as an old bear.
Well, I just don't see why you had to spend the whole doggone evening with Dave Carstairs.
Oh?
And what were you two giggling all the time about?
Well, I don't know. Dave's very amusing.
Well, I just don't happen to agree with you on that. Anyway, I brought you to the hayride, didn't I? And if he can't find himself a girlfriend, we ought to stay home.
Well, now, just a minute, Britt.
Well?
Aren't you taking a little too much for granted? We have an understanding. Remember, we're not interested in each other. Romantically.
How do you know we're not interested? Leastways, how do you know I'm not?
Why, Britt...
Well, I guess this is as good a time to tell you as any other. I don't know how it happened. I never thought it could... I don't see... That is, Myra, will you marry me? I know you don't care for the idea, but I'm probably the last man in the world you'd ever... But even so, I've got to ask you.
You better be careful, Britt. I might say yes.
I wish you would, Myra. I'd give anything in the world if you would.
You're serious, aren't you?
I'm just as serious as I can be.
But we both said that we didn't want to settle down, that we weren't interested in love or marriage.
A man can change his mind, can't he? Myra?
I guess if a man can change his mind, a woman can too.
Myra, is that you out there?
Yes, Uncle Jess.
It's time you were coming in, ain't it? It's almost 11 o'clock.
I'll be right along.
Can't you let him alone for a minute, Jess?
I've got to get up in the morning, Zoe, and I need my sleep.
I know I haven't got much to offer you, Myra, but I saved up a little money, enough to get started. I thought maybe I could buy us a ranch. That is, if you'd like ranch life.
Well, I haven't said I'd marry you, Britt.
But I thought the... Well, you said you felt the same way I do, didn't you?
I'm in love with you, Britt. I'll admit it.
Well,
then... But we're not children. We're used to living our own lives, and we've never put down roots, either one of us.
Well, it's high time we did.
I've got to think it over. Just let me sleep on it. Tomorrow night, I'll tell you then.
Oh, you'll say yes, Ma. You've just got to.
I don't know, Britt. I don't know.
Well, I put in some long days in my life, but that next one, that was the longest I ever spent. Boy. Every once in a while, I'd start thinking that it just couldn't be. That I hadn't really asked a girl to marry me. But then I'd remember Myra, and it seemed like asking her to be my wife was the most sensible thing I'd ever done. Well, I had an early supper, what I could eat of it. And then I headed over to the Aldens. Myra was sitting on the porch swing. She looked even prettier than she had before. Hello, Myra.
You're early, Britt.
Yeah, I guess I am.
I thought maybe you'd be late. Maybe you wouldn't come at all once you'd had a chance to think things over.
Well, it wasn't me who had the thinking to do. Well, Myra...
I'll marry you, Britt.
Oh.
I couldn't turn you down, even if I thought it was best. Even if I knew it was.
Oh, this is the best.
Is it? Are you sure the day won't come when you're sorry you're tied down, when you're sorry you can't go off on a cattle drive to Kansas, or you can't head over to a new mining camp in Nevada, or you can't just be by yourself when you want to?
No, I've had my share of cattle drives and mining camps, more than my share. And I don't want to be alone anymore, Myra. And besides, settling down will be just as hard for you as it is for me, you know. Your life will be changed,
no,
too.
It won't be as hard. A woman has roots even if she doesn't realize it. They're there all the time, waiting to take hold. And when if she has a home and a family, forgetting everything else is easy. She does her traveling and her dreaming and her wanting through her children. No, Britt, it's harder for a man.
But I'll manage it.
And the day won't come when you'll want to get in the saddle and ride up as far as the snow on the mountains. The day won't come when somebody will ask you for help, you and your six-shooter. A friend, maybe, a friend who needs you.
You'll just have to do without.
Well, maybe someone like Sheriff Jennings at Eagle Falls, a friend like him.
What makes you mention Sam Jennings? You don't even know him, do you?
A man came into the Gazette office this morning while I was there. He was from Eagle Falls. He'd said that he had some trouble there over a month ago. A shooting.
Well, if it was a month ago...
The sheriff was wounded, and the man who did the shooting has a grudge against you. He was looking for you. That's why he came to Eagle Falls. Prescott, I think that was the name the man mentioned.
Bide Prescott?
Yes, that was it. Does he have a grudge against you, Britt?
He did have.
If the sheriff's wounded and wants you to come over to Eagle Falls to help him...
Does Sheriff Jennings want me?
The man in the office said he did. There's nobody else to go after Prescott, is there?
I don't know.
You'd like to go after him, wouldn't you?
No.
But you feel you should, don't you?
But Prescott isn't here. Eagle Falls is over 100 miles away.
You haven't answered me, Britt. Do you feel you ought to go after him?
Well, if what you say is so, if Sheriff Jennings got wounded on my account, if there's nobody else...
Go ahead, Britt. Go on to Eagle Falls.
Do you want me to go?
Yes. I want you to.
But it shouldn't take long. I'll come back.
No.
What?
Don't come back, please.
But I don't understand.
There'll always be a Bide Prescott or a Sheriff Jennings. There'll always be someone or something calling to you, taking you away from me. Oh, you'd turn them down, you'd shut your ears, but you'd still hear it, Britt. And inside you'd feel that it was me that was holding you, and it would be me.
No, Myra, I wouldn't blame you.
I'd blame myself. And I wouldn't like myself very much for doing it to you. Don't you see, Britt, we're lucky this happened tonight, that we found out in time.
No, Myra, I...
Please, Britt, don't come back. Don't! Please, don't!
Thank you. Oh. Oh, good morning, Cass.
Whoa, Scar. Whoa, whoa.
Do you mind stepping into the office a minute? I'd like to talk to you.
Well, I
don't take long.
Oh, all right, Jazz. Easy, boy.
Sit down, Brett.
Now, I'm kind of restless today, Jazz. Thanks, anyway.
You sure have a fiddle foot, don't you?
Yeah, guess so.
And you're on your way out of town, huh?
Yeah.
See, what about Myra?
She's a fine girl, Jess. Really a fine girl.
Mm-hmm. Britt, you're leaving on account of Sheriff Jennings over to Eagle Falls sent for you. Ain't that your reason?
You might say so, in a way.
Well, now, I don't want you to think that I meant to eavesdrop last night when you was talking to Myra, but somehow Zoe forgot to shut the parlor window, and we just couldn't help hearing a certain amount of what she said.
Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah.
Well, it ain't true what Myra told you. Leastways, the part about Sheriff Jennings sending for you, that ain't true. The fellow from Eagle Falls didn't even mention your name. Jennings ain't asked for your help, Britt.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, Jess.
Huh?
Well, you see, I ran into Bide Prescott 3-4 weeks ago, and, well, there's no reason for anybody to be going after him now.
Well, if you knew that, if you knew you didn't have to leave Willow Fork, why in the name of common sense didn't you say so to Myra?
Well, I figured she had her reasons for making up that story about Sheriff Jennings. I figured she was trying to turn me down without hurting my feelings.
Oh, Britt, she didn't want to turn you down. She was just trying to make sure you wouldn't feel you'd made a mistake if you married her.
No, she couldn't really care for me very much, Jess.
Then why did she spend all night crying her eyes out? And why was Zoe up till all hours commiserating with her?
Well, thanks for telling me that, Jess.
Then you ain't leaving.
Well, I'm leaving. But I'm real proud to know that Myra is somewhat fond of me.
Oh, Britt, if you love her and she loves you...
Oh, it's enough that she cried over me for one night, Jess. You know, I remember when I was a kid... My pa was like me in a lot of ways. Always on the move, always off somewhere, getting a new start, taking a new job, hunting a new frontier. He loved my ma, and she loved him, but she spent a lot of nights crying. A lot of nights. I just wouldn't want that to happen tomorrow.
There's no reason it should.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, there is. When she was telling me that story about Sheriff Jennings wanting me to come over to Eagle Falls, I looked at myself real hard, and I knew that if it had been true, if Sheriff Jennings really had sent for me, well, it had been pretty hard for me to turn him down. Even for Myra's sake, it had been pretty hard, and someday I reckon I wouldn't be able to turn him down or anybody else like him, and Myra'd spend another night crying, you see.
One of these days you'll change, Britt.
Maybe I will. Maybe I will.
Well, can I tell Myra that you might come back to Willow Fork?
No, Jess, I don't think you better. Of course, if I do come back and she's still... Well, maybe we just better wait and see what happens.
So long, Britt. Good luck.
Thanks, Jess. I'll probably be seeing you again before too long. Let's go, Scar.
Last program in the current series of The Six Shooter, a transcribed NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions. It is written by Frank Burt and is based on a character created by him. Mr. Stewart may currently be seen in the Universal International picture The Glenn Miller Story. Others in the cast were Virginia Gregg, who played Myra, D.J. Thompson, Howard McNear, and Parley Bear. Special music for this program was by Basil Adlam, and the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. It's been good to be with you with the Six Shooter each week, and I hope that sometime, somehow, we can do it again. This is John Wall speaking. Hear MacDonald Carey and Jason and the Golden Fleece tonight on the NBC Radio Network.
So there we have it. Myra Barker. The original air date was the 24th of June, 1954. That will, even though that's the last episode, there were only 39 episodes, I will resume playing more at some point. Well, not at some point, probably next show. That was my search to find something Valentine-y. That was all I could come up with for the Six Shooter. And we'll just have a little Digital George here for a second.
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule 0, all guns are always loaded. Rule 1, never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2, keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule 3, be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
So next, I'm going to play Little Lamont Cranston and Margot Lane. I did my best to find something sort of Valentine's-y for this, but doesn't seem to be any romance between the two, other than the fact that she knows his true identity. That being said, I guess the technical difficulties are beginning. We'll see here. No, I got it. We'll just go ahead and join in on the shadow. Not join in, but I'll begin it.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The shadow knows.
Blue Cold presents The Shadow, the mystery man.
The original air date for this episode, The Circle of Death, was the 28th of November, 1937. Again, it'll star Orson Welles as Lamont Cranston in The Shadow, as well as Agnes Moorehead as Miss Margot Lane. Do I have any other notes for this one? I don't believe I do. I'm just killing a little bit of time here before, for the Blue Coal commercial. Thanks.
The plot murder announced for today has been postponed. Today, The Circle of Death.
Oh, Jack, what a delightful show. What a wonderful way to start our honeymoon.
Darling, when it comes to shows and girls, I'm a swell picker. Now watch me pick a nightclub.
Oh, taxi! Hey, taxi!
Darling, I think you're wonderful. I've never had such a marvelous time in my life.
Hop in, honey.
Well, things are pretty quiet around the theater district tonight, Bill.
Yeah, pretty thin crowd.
I don't blame folks for staying away. After those 3 bombings and 15 people being blown to pieces, I wouldn't be here myself if it wasn't the commissioner's orders.
Same here. Boy, has this town got the jitters.
Commissioner Weston's hopping around like a cat on a hot stove.
I hear the Midtown Association is going to ask for his resignation if he don't catch the nut that's scattering bombs around here like confetti on New Year's Eve.
The guy that's pulling these jobs sure must have it in for a lot of people.
Yeah, he's a real screwball, if you ask me. Look at the way he's always sending warnings to the newspapers before he blows another batch of pedestrians to Hades.
Yeah, and have you noticed? He always ends his notes by saying, I hate crowds.
Yeah. Well, this is the time that crazy group warned he'd set off another blast.
Maybe his watch is slow.
Things are going to pop if he pulls another job and kills any more people.
Well, maybe all the cops have him scared off.
Maybe.
Maybe not. Bill, look at that car. Blown to smithereens.
First Chiller strikes again. 44 dead. Get your paper here, paper. Read all about the mad maniac's latest squad.
It's horrible, Lamont, horrible.
It's senseless and insane, Margot. Crimes like this always are. Turn on the radio. It's time for a news bulletin. The switch on the dashboard.
All right, Lamont.
Back upon the inefficiency of the police department. Tonight at Midtown Hall, a meeting of businessmen of the entertainment world and property owners is in progress. Police Commissioner Weston has been asked to defend his department and produce results or resign.
Oh, that's enough, Margaret.
Washington, D.C.
Now, listen carefully.
Yes, Lamar.
I want you to go to that protest meeting right over there at Midtown Hall. Commissioner Weston is speaking, and the crowd is pretty certain to heckle his explanation of the failure of his department to catch this fiend.
I'm sure
of it. Now, here's what I want you to do. Keep quiet and watch your chance. Then I want you to cry out that Shadow could solve this crime without half trying.
Aren't you flattering yourself?
Never mind that, Margot. I have a very definite reason for doing this. A lot depends on your getting the crowd to take up your suggestion.
I'll do my best, Lamont. But where are you going?
I won't be far away. Hand me that leather case on the floor.
Here you are. Am I permitted enough womanly curiosity to ask what's in it?
Just a little wire-tapping device.
Telephone?
No. Now, Commissioner Weston will be talking over the loudspeaker system in Midtown Hall. Don't be surprised if the Shadow interrupts his speech. Now, remember, Margot, cry out at the psychological moment. Hundreds of lives depend on it.
I have explained to you every available resource of the police department has been thrown into catching this fiend. Our bomb squads have combed the city. Every known criminal with psychopathic tendencies has been rounded up and questioned. Not one fragment of a bomb has been found. No buildings have been damaged. No one person has been singled out for death. This is not an ordinary crime. We are not dealing with an ordinary criminal.
Alibis! We've had enough.
15 people dead.
50 injured. You talk. Talk.
Business is at a standstill.
We're being ruined. The whole city's in a panic.
Get this fellow and resign, Weston.
Get out of there to push some of the phrases at the Texas maniac before he strikes again.
Yes.
The Shadow could solve this crime without half trying.
There's an idea. The Shadow. Yes, the Shadow, McKinnon.
He's cracked cases for you before, Weston.
Why don't you call him in?
He wouldn't have to do much to do a better job of it than the police have.
Get the Shadow, Weston.
What about the Commissioner?
You've done nothing in 2 weeks. You're sick.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hold on. What makes you think this man who calls himself the Shadow is interested in law and order?
He's helped to trap plenty of criminals, hasn't he?
Yes, he's tipped us off occasionally. But it may have been to get rid of rivals. We have no assurance he isn't a criminal himself.
What of us? A thief can catch a thief.
I don't run my department that way.
You're not running it at all.
That's a matter of opinion.
You're not running it.
I was asked here to tell you what we've been doing. You seem to think my department works with the Shadow. We don't. We never have. And as for the Shadow, and you, reporter, can spread it all over the front pages, I challenge him to uncover one single scrap of evidence that my men have overlooked. I challenge the Shadow to find this maniac.
I am the Shadow. I accept that challenge, Commissioner Wenson. I am working on the case. Gentlemen of the press, it will not be necessary for you to print the commissioner's challenge, but you can print this challenge to the arch fiend behind this reign of terror. Print this, gentlemen. The Shadow will track the masked killer if he dares walk through the central arcade during the rush hour between 5 and 6 tomorrow night. Remember, the central arcade between 5 and 6 tomorrow night. I dare him to come, to walk through the central arcade.
Give me a paper.
That's 2 cents, mister.
Here's your 2 cents.
Oh, thanks. Here's the paper.
No, not that one on top. People, crowds have seen it.
Well, so what? They're all the same.
No. Give me that one underneath.
Okay, the customer's always right.
Hey, you masked murderer, come and buy the Shadow. That's your extra paper.
The Central Arcade tomorrow. So he's daring me, this Shadow fellow. He knows I hate crowds. Crowds and people pushing and getting in my way. Voices talking and shouting. I hate them. And I'll show them. I'll show the Shadow fella, too. I'll fool all of them. I'll accept his challenge. I'll be there at the Central Arcade. And the Shadow fella will know I was there. The whole world will know. After I'm gone.
Orders have been carried out, Commissioner Weston.
Good. There'd better not be any slip-ups.
200 patrolmen are stationed in the neighborhood of the Central Arcade. 50 picked men of the plainclothes and bomb squad will be in the crowd. If there is a crowd.
There'll be a mob after all the publicity. If I could get my hands on the Shadow, I'd wring his neck for this. What time is it?
A little after 4, sir.
We better get down there pretty soon.
Yes, sir. Shall I take that call, sir?
No. I've been waiting for this. And if it's who I think it is... Hello. Hello! Listen to me, Shadow.
No, Commissioner Weston. You listen to me.
I'm listening. Quick, Connors, trace this call.
Yes, sir.
Don't bother, Commissioner. You can't trace this call. I tapped a line. Just as I tapped the Midtown loudspeaker system last night.
So that's how you pulled that crazy stunt. You're a fool, Shadow. Don't you realize you've endangered the lives of thousands of people?
Nothing will happen if you do not interfere.
I don't take my orders from you, Shadow. You're not running the police department.
I'm not giving orders, but I need your help. Just do one thing for me, and you and not the Shadow will get the credit for the capture of the mass killer.
Oh, yes? Well, what do you want?
Just keep the crowd moving through the narrow arcade. Just keep them moving. Keep them moving. Everything depends on that.
What are you trying to do, Shadow?
To find a needle in a haystack. A man in a million.
You haven't a chance. The maniac won't come.
You overlook the fact that a dare is a powerful psychological magnet that no egotistical crazed mind can resist. Just keep that crowd moving, Commissioner. Keep them moving.
When you start figuring ways and means to save money for...
The Central Arcade. All right. guess the Shadow is going to find a needle in the haystack or a man amongst millions. But we're going to end the drama portion of today's show with Act One of The Circle of Death. That original air date was the 28th of November, 1937. Apologize for my sniffles, but I'm a little congested. Can be expected this time of year, I suppose. I don't know who's coming in next. According to the new schedule, it says Automation is going to be playing. But that's a split show with Peanut Butter and Jams. But I'm going to play the rest. I'm going to play music to celebrate Valentine's Day here. Just a couple of love songs or love-ish songs that I dusted off the shelf. I'll just play, I'll tell you what I'm having in mind here. Peter Sellers and Sophia Loren. We'll start things off with Goodness Gracious Me. And follow that with the Velvet Underground. I'm sticking with you. I gotta clear the turntable off, though. I had a Dick Tracy all queued up in the event of a collapse of technical difficulties with the CD player. I'll close everything out with Je T'aime by Serge Gainsbourg. I got another one here, if time allows. Again, that's why I don't know if anyone's coming in following this show. This is Arthur, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO, WMFO.org, Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio.
Trouble.
Well, goodness gracious me.
For every time a certain man is standing next to me, a flash comes to my face and my pulse begins to race. It goes boom, booty, boom, booty, boom, booty, boom, booty, boom, booty, boom, booty, boom, 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 booty, boom, booty, boom, booty, boom.
Well, goodness gracious me. How often does this happen? When did the trouble start? You see, my stethoscope is bobbing to the throbbing of your heart.
What kind of man is he to create this allergy? It goes boom, booty, boom, booty, boom, booty, boom, booty, boom, booty, boom, booty, boom, boom, boom. Boom, booty, boom, booty, boom, booty, boom.
Well, goodness gracious me. From New Delhi to Darjeeling, I have done my share of healing, and I've never yet been beaten or outboxed. I remember that with one jab of my needle in the Punjab, how I cleared up beriberi and dreaded dysentery. But your complaint has got me really foxed.
Oh, oh, doctor, touch my fingers.
Well, goodness gracious me.
You may be very clever, but however can't you see? My heart beats much too much at a certain tender touch. It goes boom, booty, 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 boom, boom.
I like it.
Boom, booty, boom, booty, boom, booty, boom.
Well, goodness gracious me. Can I see your tongue? Nothing the matter with it. Put it away, please.
Maybe it's my back.
Maybe it is.
Shall I lie down?
Yes. My initial diagnosis rules out measles and thrombosis, sleeping sickness, and as far as I can tell, influenza, inflammation, whooping cough, and night starvation. And you'll be so glad to hear that both your eyeballs are so clear that I can positively swear that you are well.
Put two and two together.
Four.
If you have eyes to see,
yes,
the face that makes my pulses race is right in front of me.
Oh, there is nothing I can do, for my heart is jumping too.
Oh, we go.
boom, boody boom, boody boom, boody boom, boody boom, boody boom, boody boom, 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 boody boom, boody boom, boody boom. Goodness gracious,
how audacious.
Goodness gracious,
how flirtatious.
Goodness gracious,
it is me.
It is you.
I'm sorry, it is us.
Ah.
I'm sticking with you, 'cause I'm made out of glue. Anything that you might do, I'm gonna do too. You held up a stagecoach in the rain, and I'm doing the same. So tree, and I made believe it was me.
I'm sticking with you, 'cause I'm made out of glue. Anything that you might do, I'm gonna do too.
Go into the stratosphere.
Soldiers fighting with the calm.
But with you by my side, I can do anything. When we swing, we hang past right and wrong. I'll do anything for you. With you, oh, I'm sticking with you.
love that you want. Baby, you've got it. From the depths of my soul. Baby, you've got it. But I've been watching you, and I don't think that you're game. Girl, there's no need to explain. Yeah.